Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
The Bible says that there's seasons to everything, everything under heaven. There's a season to everything. I wore green today because I don't care if it's not spring. As soon as we set the clocks for it, it's springtime. So this is the way we work. But today marks a day of a season. There's different seasons. There's seasons of joy. There's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. And I want to talk to us about wilderness seasons. And I know it's like, ooh, that's kind of heavy. I believe it's not going to be heavy. I think it's going to be refreshing for us. But I want to talk to you about the wilderness and why God uses the wilderness in our life. You know, Jesus was led into the wilderness as soon as he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist baptized him, Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. The very next thing that happened is the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. He was tempted. He was tested. He was tried. But when the Bible says when he came out of the wilderness, he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something that God does when we go through a wilderness season of our life that does a deep work in our heart. He infuses something in us, a courage, a confidence, an understanding of his love and his faithfulness when we go through difficult seasons is what allows us to sustain the promise that he has for us. God uses the wilderness. Paul was knocked off his high horse. He was blinded. He immediately started evangelizing, but then God sent him away for 3 years in obscurity. He sent him to a place where no one knew what was going on. He was in a wilderness season because God was doing a deep work in his heart, preparing him to take the gospel message to the Gentiles, in which we get to be a part of today. God prepares us in obscurity. He prepares us during wilderness seasons. Abraham and Sarah went through a wilderness season. They were promised a son, and it took them 25 years before they recognized the promise of Isaac. It took them so long that at one point they took matters in their own hands and tried to have a son outside the way that God had planned it. It messed everything up. Abraham fell on his face, broken before God. God restored him, brought Isaac 10 years later. He took a man who was fatherless to the man of father of many nations in the wilderness season. He did a great work in his heart. Just because you can't feel God working, just because you can't see God working, doesn't mean that he's not doing a work inside of you because he's preparing something great for you. God uses the wilderness. There's stories all over the Bible. Daniel, Joshua, Joseph, Jacob. There's stories all over the Bible. Before he does a great work, there's a wilderness season. And a lot of times we don't want to talk about the wilderness. It's heavy. It's dark. It's not faith-filled. I'm telling you, it's the wrong perspective. God uses the wilderness season in our lives to make changes. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 3. This is a story of the Israelites, and I want to read this because it brings context where I believe many of you are in your lives. I believe it's a word for our church right now, and if it's not, I'm sorry, but it's at least a word for Beth and I, so welcome to our church service. But this is a picture that I believe where we are. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Ashia Grove. In the Hebrew, it's Shittim. It's a really fun word to say, and I want to say it in church. And arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelites' officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move from your positions and follow them. In other words, it's time to break camp, baby. We're leaving this place. We're not leaving. Beth and I are going to stay here. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Today, the Holy Spirit guides us. He resides in us. He leads us. He directs our steps. This is the new covenant way that God leads us. You never know the direction that God's leading you. You don't know the way that he wants to lead you to the promised land. You don't know how he's going to do it, so you have to have his leading. This is the relationship that God has with us today. Stay about a half a mile behind them. Keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do great wonders among you. Up to this point, Israel had been slaved from Egypt. And let me just tell you, if you were here Wednesday night, Pastor Bill opened up with Joshua, and him and I haven't really talked about what we're going to preach about. And I got really nervous. He was getting ready to preach my message. I'm telling you, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, my arms were heavy. I mean, I was like, Lord, I cannot prepare a message in 2 days if he goes down this road. So I believe, I mean, you could ask, but I'm texting Nikki, and Brian is like, did he see my notes? Like, because he might do something like that, am I to take? Okay, yeah. Yeah, and go get him now, son. All right. Y'all want to go to lunch? I don't have anything to say. Enough about that. We broke stride. Okay, here we are. Israelites on the banks of the Jordan River. This is the 42nd place that they have camped in 40 years. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. If you hate moving, you would have hated to be a part of this crew. They have moved about every 8 to 9 months, living in tents, getting settled in, having to pack up, move to the next location. Now they're at the banks of the Jordan River. They're about 100 yards away from the land that marks the promised land. They're right on the edge of what God has for them. They're at a crux of a moment of a nation of people, a people group that are about to move into the thing that they have heard about for generations. The promise that God has had for us, an incredible time of expectation and excitement. What is this land going to be like? Some are full of fear, some are full of excitement, but it's the land that God has prepared us for. It's the land that God has for us, and I believe that's what's the word that God has for us, for you, for your family today. We're on the cusp of something special. We're on the banks of the river about to move into the promised land. But before we go into the promised land, I want to make sure that we understand and we get everything that God has for us in the wilderness. God uses the wilderness season in our lives to prepare us for the promised land. To help do that, I'm going to use a part, and I'll give credit where credit is due. This piece of this message is inspired by a message a friend of mine preached a little over a year ago, and it was a word in season for Beth and I. And so I'm going to use his definition of the wilderness. It's not necessarily revelational, no offense to him, but it's important for this message. Number one, the wilderness is not sickness, disease, or poverty. That is not the wilderness. God will never use sickness to teach you a lesson. The wilderness is nothing that God has ever redeemed you from. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom from sickness, disease, virus, plague, or symptoms. Have no place in my body, no place in my home. They touch me, they die. That's the stance. That's the fight. That's the authority that we have. It was by the stripes that Jesus took on his back that we were healed. It's God's desire that we prosper and be in health just as our soul prospers in the name of Jesus. This is the stance. This is the fight that we have. You never mark off of that. We never back down from that. We fight that. That's not the wilderness. God provides in the wilderness. He provided manna every day for the Israelites. He broke a rock and provided water. He will miraculously provide for you. It may not be the comfort level that you want, but his provision is there. He will always provide in the wilderness. I've got a screen full of just descriptives that maybe describe what the wilderness could be in our lives, and this is not an exhaustive list. It's just to kind of help paint the picture. The wilderness is when you don't feel like you're going anywhere. You were repeating history. Things aren't working out. You're frustrated with a little bit of progress. There's an internal squeeze or pressure. You feel like you want to give up. You're tempted to give up on God. You're questioning the calling. You're questioning his promises. You're on the brink of quitting because you can't see him working. You can't feel it with your emotions. You're crying out, God, where am I? Where are you? You said this. I sit in church every Sunday and they say this promise. We speak to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. But where are you? And it's just about as silent as that moment right there. This is the wilderness. There might be areas in your life, maybe not your whole life, that you're struggling with wilderness, relationally, directionally. Maybe there's an internal vow that you've made that's holding you back from you moving into the promised land. Maybe your internal vow is you're watching online right now and it's, I will never go to church. Maybe there's relationships in church that God has for you that could help lead you to the promised land. What's your internal vow? What area of your heart do you need to open up to God? See, sometimes I think what happens, and understand my heart in communicating this, I think I just communicated my strong belief in God's healing power and the promise and a strong faith message, but I think what happens sometimes in the Word of Faith movement in the church is we get such in a fighting stance against the enemies. We're rejecting things, we're resisting things, and we should. But in our own understanding, sometimes we can't distinguish between the times that we're rejecting the enemy and we're rejecting God. We're resisting the enemy or resisting God. Well, God doesn't resist us. Bull. Let's go to James. We get so caught up in rejecting discomfort of our lives, we can't understand that sometimes for God to get us to where we want to go, we got to go through something uncomfortable. James 4, verse 6 says, but he continues to pour out more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours his grace on you when you're humble. His grace is pushing you forward. It's not always going to be easy. That's why we need his grace, to help us get through those moments that are challenging, that are difficult, to go take the land that he's called us to take the areas of our heart that he's called us to take. You got to understand where you are and get that revelation of what God is doing in you so you don't stop, so you don't quit. He's using that season of your life to prepare you. Let it bring some excitement to you, an expectation that there's something great that's right out in front of you. They're on the banks of the Jordan River. It's only 100 yards away. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. God's been doing a work in your heart. He's been doing a work in us. Why the wilderness? It purifies our heart. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10 through 11. This is Isaiah talking to the Israelites in the season. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering or affliction. I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake, I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols. In a wilderness season, God is not repairing the things out here. He's repairing in you in your heart. He's not working on the outside. He's working on the inside. A lot of times we're so focused on trying to fix what's out here. We're consulting everybody we can consult. We're reading every book that we can read. We're trying all these different strategies and it's not working. There's no movement. There's no growth. I want to challenge you to turn your attention from the outside to say, God, what are you trying to do in me? What do you want to do in me? What changes do you need to make in me to get me ready for what I know I'm trying to do on the outside? I know that vision was from you. I know this dream was from you. But when you're pushing up against that resistance, you might be resisting God. There might be an area in your heart, a place of pride that you've got to break down to let God bring that breakthrough that you want. God will not share his heart with anything that doesn't glorify him, doesn't reflect him. He wants all of you. He's a jealous God for you. He's envious for you. He's not going to share your heart with anything else. A purified heart is the very thing that gives us the character that we have to go handle the promise that he has for us. It develops the character in us. You can't sustain the promise without character. The affliction, the furnace is what puts all that grime up to the top for God can skim it off. You know, a lot of times we're afraid of the challenges, but isn't it interesting how much the Bible talks about that we're overcomers and we're conquerors? And we're going to win. We are going to win. But if you're going to win, don't you understand you're fighting for something? You can't have a victory without the battle. And a lot of times we don't want to go through the challenge. We don't want to face the things that God wants us to face to get the victory that we're after. Sometimes it's a battle. But when you posture yourself in humility, you've got the grace to go through it. The wilderness breaks us. I've learned this over the last 4 years. The wilderness will break you down. It will break you. In the world, brokenness is a negative. I got a broken down car. Got a broken heart from a broken relationship. I'm just broke. I'm poor. It's all negative. I don't believe brokenness in the kingdom of God is negative. Man, my plan is broken. I just got T-boned. Everything's a wreck. I don't know what's going on. I can't find God in this. Maybe he's breaking areas of your heart. He's breaking new ground in your heart. He's taking a heart of stone and he's chiseling off some places and he's going to begin to remind you of things that he put in your heart. He's going to remind you of dreams. He's going to remind you of vision. You're going to find that you actually have a heart of compassion and the ability to love like he loves, because in that wilderness, he's chiseling away. He's tilling up some ground and he's going to begin showing you things, I even believe this morning, of what he wants to do in your heart. Because you've been in a wilderness season and he's using it to turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh because he wants to bring revival to your lives. Brokenness, I worked really hard. I told the first service I worked really hard to get this one. It's a good point. This is for Pastor Bill. Revival, deliverance, abundance, right? Brokenness is not a place of defeat. And I believe this with all my heart. It's not just a fancy saying, but I want you to remember it. It's not a place of defeat. Brokenness is a place of deliverance. When we're in that broken place, now we've arrived where God can deliver us and he can move us out. But until you're willing to be broken, until you're willing to humble your heart, until you're willing to receive what God has for you, he will allow you to live in that dysfunction. He allowed an entire generation of Israelites to live in the wilderness. That's the sad thing about this. This is why we've got to understand what the wilderness does for us, so we don't stay in this dysfunction. Let them break your heart. That's the moment you get to cross that bridge. You get to start crossing the water of deliverance over to the land of abundance. It's not a place of defeat. It's a place of deliverance. David's a great story of this. Last week, if you were here, Pastor Chano, this wasn't a part of his message, apparently. But he wanted to tell the story of David and Bathsheba. And at this time, I already had this in my notes. And so I was a little hot that he decided to steal my thunder for this point. And I was going to remove it from my message, but then I didn't. But David, an incredible role model. Man, killed lions and bears, killed a giant. Man, rallied an entire nation. Incredible man of mercy, patient with Saul. Man, he's like the small guy's hero, which is me. It's like every small guy, it's like, yeah, David. It's like one of the most valiant Bible characters there is, and it's David, and he was small. It's my guy. A man after God's own heart, and then he commits an affair, and he has her husband. I mean, the most vile, jacked up. It's like, David, you screwed it up for the small guys. I mean, just disgusting. Psalms 51 is the very first Psalms that he writes after this incident in his life, and the whole Psalms is awesome. I wanted to read it, but we don't have that much time. So we're going to go 51, 16 through 17. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit or a humble spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, God. David admitted his brokenness. That's a posture of humility. He cried out before God, not from a victim mentality, not some neediness place, not for needing of attention, but a pure, honest desire and a brokenness for letting God down, for the hurt and the pain that he caused to people. He wanted God to restore him. He knew that God would restore him. He knew God's mercy. He's the one that teaches us about that. God restored him. Yes, there's consequences, but God restored him. And these are the two reasons why I think God said, you're a man after my own heart, which is a vision statement for my own life. I would love to get to heaven and say, you are a man after my own heart. Man, if I could keep that before me. He extended incredible mercy to God, but I also believe in this moment after he made an incredible mistake because of his heart's posture towards God, this is why God calls him a man after his own heart. Admittance that your brokenness. God, heal me. God, restore me. There's nothing that you could ever do that would not, that would separate you from allowing God to heal you. There's nothing you can do. Trust me, God's been around for a long time and a lot of people have done a lot of messed up things. I've learned that the wilderness empties us. It breaks us, so it empties us. It empties us. When we're broken, you're empty. You can't be full of what God wants to put in you if we're full of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says this, we now have this shining light in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. The wilderness breaks us to empty us so God can fill us. You are the clay jar. We're made from the clay of the earth. You're the clay jar. The power that's inside of you is not you, it's God in you. Ephesians 3, chapter 19 says this, verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. To experience God's love is far different than to know something. When you go through the wilderness, you get to experience his love. You get to see him sustain you. The brokenness to emptiness that fills us, it teaches us that we cannot handle the platform of the blessing until you fully understand that it is not you, but it is God who sustains you. He breaks us to fill us. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you're probably familiar with this Bible verse. A lady's husband passes away. She still owns an incredible debt to her debtors. They're coming to take her sons away from her. And she goes to this man. The man says, well, what do you have in your home? And she says, I just have one jar of oil. And he says, okay, get you and your two sons, and you go to all your neighbors, and you collect as many of the empty jars as you can. So they go out, they collect these empty jars, they come into their home, they shut the door, and they start filling these empty jars from the one jar that they have. When we remain in a place of emptiness, God will continue to pour himself out in you. When you are full of yourself, when you're not allowing God to break you, to empty you, you're full of yourself. Every single time you say, God, here I am, I'm empty. He's going to fill you with what he has for you. He's going to lead you to that promised land. Pastor Bill texted me a couple weeks ago. He goes, hey, could you preach on the 1st or the 8th? I picked the 8th. Here's why. This is a little bit of vulnerability. And I don't mean to say, oh, I get to preach on the stage. No, I'm just going to make my point. I picked the 8th because it gave me more time to prepare. I'm terrified of preaching. Terrified of it. And Beth's like, hey, you probably need to like let them know that's an issue for you. So I shoot him a text and I explain. It's this long, like, emotional heart thing. And, you know, and he's like, man, don't say no to this. I'll help you. So I said yes. To this day, he has not responded to one of my texts to help me prepare. You know what he wanted me to do? Take a step. I got to the end of this message preparing for this, and I'm sitting at my kitchen table. And I get this revelation on how maybe the last 4 years that Beth and I have went through, and I'm not going to tell you those stories, has broken us. It's purified us. And I told Pastor Bill, I said, I don't know if I have anything to say. I don't want to commit to the date until I know what I'm going to say. And I got to the end of this point, and at my kitchen table, God said, I never needed to have you anything to say. I needed you to be empty so I could fill you with what I wanted you to say so you could pour it out. I started crying, my dog staring at me. You can't tell me that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. You can't tell me that God doesn't want to travel the path of life with us because he promises that he'll show you the path of life. The reason why he doesn't want you to go into the promised land is because he doesn't want you to go without him yet. And when you're full of yourselves and we think that we can just go off and do it our way, he loves you so much, he just wants to be with you. I think it's that simple. When I go to Lowe's, I just want Logan in the car. He hates it. What are we going to do? There's nothing there. I just want you with me. Sean wanted to go skiing for all of everybody in the world that's turning 40 this year. And it's like, yeah, it's great. I want to go skiing with my kids. He wants you broken because he constantly wants to fill you because he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to walk you into the promised land. He wants to be with you in the promised land. He wants to teach you to parent. He wants to teach you to be that spouse. He wants to show you the path of life. In your weakness, his strength will be made perfect. You can't separate the two. He doesn't lead from out here anymore. He leads from right here. He wants to walk with you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to teach you. He wants to break your heart down so he can build you right back up. He wants you empty so he can fill you with his love so you can go and be successful in the promised land. You can't sustain it without him. He's that good. It's that amazing. But you need him in the wilderness. You need him in the transition. And you need him in the promised land. Pastor Bill started this year with its revival, its deliverance, and abundance. We're back in Joshua chapter 3. We're sitting on the river's edge. Pastor Bill said these words at the beginning of the year, I can hear abundance from here. You know why? Because we're 100 yards away from the promised land. This is circular. It starts with revival in our hearts. Those wilderness areas of our heart getting healed up. God's doing something. And when you say, God, I'm going to admit these things. I want you to heal these areas of my life. I want you to heal these areas of my heart. That's the beginning of deliverance. That's revival in your heart. But here's the thing. What he pours out in your heart, we serve a God of more than enough. It's going to start overflowing. There's going to be an abundance that's going to come out, and it's going to start spilling out and around the people. That's external revival. It keeps working circular. It's not linear. Revival, deliverance, abundance. Revival, deliverance, abundance. Revival, deliverance, abundance. I think I said it backwards. It's circular in your life, in our lives, and what God's doing here.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.